The home team.
And here we go.
All right, hour two, the home team is presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden.
Yeah.
Just one more hour with you today, and then we'll have University Tire and Automotive Bulldog Friday night with David Johnston and Coach Donnan. They will take your calls and talk Georgia-Bama and the rest of the games this conference championship weekend from 6 until 8 o'clock.
You know, it's so funny now that over half my life has been the conference championship game era, and I know how big tomorrow is, and you know, a chance to win the SEC championship, play in Alabama, to go to the playoff. But then there's also a part of me, you know, I think back to the early 80s when we had those phenomenal years, and if we beat Tech, you got to savor that great season. Then you went to a great bowl. You know, went to three straight Sugar Bowls and then the Cotton Bowl. You got that whole month, so you took 2 or 3 weeks to really celebrate everything you had done, and then you know you were getting ready for, you know, for us it was Notre Dame, Pitt, Penn State, and Texas. So there's a part of me that is like, it would be kind of cool if it was back in the early 80s and we just pulled an 11-1 and routed Tech. It's all right, now we get to find out what bowl we go to, and
we might still have three games.
I know, it's crazy.
Like, I mean, we've at least got two, including tomorrow's.
And as we've said, too, the other teams are in playoff contention. If Georgia were to win its next three games, it would be the greatest run of all time. Like, if we beat Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Alabama, Notre Dame, Alabama.
Yeah.
Man, it would be just unbelievable.
Well, so it's odd, too, how all of a sudden, like, you know, Georgia, Notre Dame have scheduled these games, played last year, going to play next year, and now – are, you know, within shouting distance of meeting again here this season after not having played since January of 1981.
You know, we kind of went through something like that with Arkansas when they came in the league. You know, it's kind of like they like to get those prime matchups. Like, we played Arkansas in 92 and 93. Then we didn't play them again. It was a long time. It was 0-0 and 0-1. But then, lo and behold, we played them in the conference championship game that next year in 0-2.
Yeah.
So it's like sometimes it is funny. You don't see these teams, and then you wind up running into them.
And you can't get rid of them. Well, that's kind of happening with Alabama, how Georgia and Alabama historically have not played a ton against each other. But, I mean, now I think you're probably going to make it a habit. I mean, here's twice in – one calendar year now that it's going to be happening with stakes that are high, which leads us to the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And, Jeff, your final thoughts as we head into the weekend. Bama and Georgia tomorrow at this time. We will be, early second quarter, I guess?
Yeah.
What do you anticipate your mood will be about 24 hours from now?
It'll be pretty nervy, but I'll be honest. I've felt real good all week because it's one of those games. Is there pressure? Yeah, we know what's at stake. It's Georgia and Alabama for the SEC title. And, you know, for Georgia, the Dogs have got to win to make the playoff. Apparently, Bama, they can just do whatever. They're in a 2 out of 3 situation.
So, honestly, do you feel the same way I do, though? If they lose, they're still in?
I would say they've got a 67% to 75% chance of getting in if we beat them.
I think they're already in.
But
maybe that helps Georgia, though. Maybe they know that, and that's like,
Coach, are you going to arrest a Tua and Jerry Jeudy and Bugs and all those guys? And I'm excited for it, Chris. I'm just so elated with the season we've had, and you know, it is kind of funny that what we talked about in the offseason kind of came to fruition, that this team really put all the pieces together after that open date. And I think particularly from the fourth quarter of the Florida game on, I mean, this team has been as good as anybody. Maybe save Alabama, fine. That's fine if you want to say, you know, that we've been the second or third best team in the country. I'll give Clemson credit. They've been rolling too. I think we're at worst the third best team in the country right now. But just mentally and psychologically, I think for anybody who's ever been a competitor or if you're just a fan of a team, when you get to the pinnacle like Georgia did and you get just so close, and we all know the further along you go, the more the loss is going to hurt. I mean, let's, like the Falcons last year, like if you're a Falcons fan, that loss to the Eagles stung. But it didn't sting like losing in the Super Bowl.
Oh, of course not.
So, I mean, the further you go, the more that thing's going to sting. So, I mean, that was, you know, that was the it was the it's the most heartbreaking loss in Georgia history. And then, you know, everybody's like, oh, it was such a great game. You were right there. What a season. And it was an incredible year. Then all of a sudden you get back and a couple of months go by and you're doing the off season and lifting weights and spring starts back and you realize you're just like every other team in the country. You're starting over. What you did last year was great. Doesn't have any bearing whatsoever on what you're going to do this upcoming year. And for the team to put in that work and to perform the way they did, to put themselves back in this situation again, that is extremely hard to do.
Yeah, but that's the thing. No matter the outcome of tomorrow's game, even if Georgia doesn't win it, and, I mean, 2019, I think the expectations for the team are exactly the same. I mean, it's like I fully anticipate that 1 year from now, these same two teams will be playing in the SEC championship game again.
There's a very good chance. I mean, preseason 1-2-3 next year, unless something really crazy happens, in some order, is going to be Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. Notre Dame will probably be up around because Book's only a sophomore, right?
Yeah. I mean, Texas, I think, would probably
Texas
factor
will be
in there.
Up there. If Shea Patterson comes back.
Yeah, but
Michigan,
I mean, I guess they're going to lose a good bit of that defense.
Yeah, Rashawn Gary's already announced it. Yeah. I mean, Ohio State's going to be ranked high, that we'll see with Urban Meyer. You know, I guess Kyler Murray's leaving Oklahoma to go make $4 million for the A's.
Meyer announced that he is going to make an announcement about his future following tomorrow's game.
Yeah, he's
Well, I mean, the early lean is that he's going to say he's going to coach one more year.
Really?
He's going to roll on through 2019. But isn't that kind of what he did at Florida, where he wanted to quit and stayed on for one more year, and they were just kind of
– And that's also from the Paterno playbook, too, where Paterno – well, I'm just going to coach out this season. It's like, no, you don't get to make that call.
But he said after tomorrow's game, he's going to make some announcement.
Now, that would be beautiful. If we – next year – beat Alabama for the SEC title, then say beat Texas, then sent Urban Meyer off with a Georgia national title, sending Urban out.
That would be
beautiful. That would make up for a lot of that pain in Jacksonville.
That'd be perfect. In fact, it might make up for all of it.
No doubt. Like national title game, Georgia 33, Ohio State 14. Dogs go 15-0. Urban Meyer loses his last game ever.
Because it is like, I mean, none of what Spurrier did to Georgia is like erased, but it is something that we
got the last laugh.
We did.
Least.
Big time,
big
too.
Big time.
I mean, Grayson Lambert owns the record for completion percentage.
It's kind of like, you know, some of the old movies you'd see. Like, I don't know, like a Back to the Future, Peggy Sue Got Married or something like that, where you might have been the geek in high school, but then you made a lot of – but you come back to the reunion and you've got the hottest wife there.
Yeah.
So it's like Spurrier was kicking us when we were down.
Yeah.
But
– we came back and it was like those old Jenny Jones episodes where they were like – they'd show pictures of people who were nerdy in high school
right.
And they'd grown up and they're all hot and everything.
That's right.
Yeah, that was Georgia that day.
We just – what was that, 52-20?
Well, yeah, and that's still the best is like, well, they were only 1-for-4 on third down. Wait, they only had 4 third down conversions.
I guess that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
That was epic.
Moving on in the 5-at-5. How about the 5-at-5-5, Jeff?
Yes.
Top five players
Ooh.
Impacting.
Oh my God.
Tomorrow's game. We got to start with Tua. He's number one. He's going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Tua and Fromm. God, these two offensive lines are both so good. I'll say Jerry Jeudy, DeAndre Baker, and Quinnen Williams.
Here, I put Mecole on my list because
That's
he did have
one.
Two touchdowns against them last year.
Yes, he did. It'll be interesting to see if they, assuming they punt, that they if they might just kick away from him.
Right. Which is still,
then you're gaining yardage on that.
Yeah.
That's a win.
I mean, that's the factor with Mecole on offense, and even just he's a part of really the gap between these two teams' special teams, which is Georgia's are, miles ahead of what we've seen out of Bama.
I'll say this now, and this is with all due respect to Clemson, who is so good. You know, they've got that defensive line. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, we all knew he was going to be great. He's terrific. They got good backs. But if you could take any two teams in the country and make an all-star team out of them and produce the best team, it'd be Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, with Clemson's defensive line.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know what, the thing with looking possibly down the line too, Clemson has played two SEC teams, beat one by two, and gave up 35 to the other one. Clemson's got a young secondary that South Carolina took advantage of last week, and Georgia certainly would have the ability to do. And so would Alabama if they have to play
again
Clemson. But again, we'll get past tomorrow's game. But here's the thing I think with Georgia and Bama and what Bama has seen this season and what they're going to see with Georgia tomorrow – the Mississippi State game is a good example where State's defense, especially that defensive line, held Alabama in check like no team has done. But Mississippi State also only had 6 first downs in that game and couldn't really move the ball. But they've handled one-dimensional offenses.
Yes.
And when they've had some offenses, I still don't know how Arkansas scored 31 and had 3 75-yard touchdown drives. Maybe Kirby watched that film this week, though. But
that was crazy.
But, Bama's defense has faced just a lot of one-dimensional offenses this season. Yeah. And this is the first time. I mean, Georgia can – we can run it. We can throw it.
Well,
We hit big plays against them, you know, at least the 80-yarder to Mecole in that championship game.
And I also think, you know, to see backs the caliber of Swift and Holyfield, a quarterback the caliber of Fromm, a receiving and tight end core the caliber of Georgia's with a big play man like Hardman – and an excellent offensive line.
Yeah,
like this is the best team, the best offense that Alabama's faced, no doubt.
Right. I hope the story of the game though doesn't end up being our red zone ineffectiveness, and that's what I mean. Maybe we've got to score from before we get into the red zone and hit some explosive plays. And again, Bama's defense—that's one area where they've can be had. Is big plays. We did it to him. Ole Miss did it to him on that one play.
Got on him.
But, you know, the red zone is really – it's strange with our offense because our offense is so good everywhere else on the field, and then suddenly you get in there and we've struggled all season.
Yeah, think back. You know, Chris, we always talk about this, that on Labor Day weekend before that opener, enjoy it because it'll be Halloween and the Florida game before you know it. It'll be Thanksgiving before you know it. So here we are now after Thanksgiving, the last day in November. You just made me think, kind of going back. Remember before the openers, what Saban was comparing Louisville's quarterback?
Yeah, Puma Pass.
What do you say? It was like another Cam Newton?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that turned out to not be the case.
Right. That was just Saban probably doing his deal like, hey, Western Kentucky. They've got a good linebacker.
Yeah, they do.
Don't doubt them.
And that one suck-up reporter asked him. I'm glad somebody asked me about that.
I think the all-time best still is when he was talking up that Charleston Southern quarterback a couple years ago, and then the guy didn't even play.
Which was smart on Charleston Southern's coach's part.
Yeah, because they were already in there.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point?
FCS playoffs.
James Brown, please, loving the talk of going 15-0 to send Urban out.
Yeah, I love that talk too. Because that's still the one thing we haven't crossed off the list yet is we've been, you know, that blowout, that annual blowout.
Well, I mean, LSU beat us by 20.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We've been blown, even that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't done that yet. We get blown out.
Oh, I got you. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about like tomorrow. So it's gonna be the.
Oh no. I'm saying that's like looking ahead to next year. The idea of going 15-0 and sending Urban Meyer out a big loser.
That'd be epic.
Yeah, just Urban and his Papa John's pizza on that golf cart.
All right. By the way, my friend Wayne Dean tweeted this at me. That aforementioned the heartbreaker. The 94 Georgia-Alabama game apparently was on ESPN Classic this morning.
Is this you?
That's when I got my airtime.
Yeah, and that kid, the guy had to tell you to like, all right, kid.
Ron Franklin, that's enough.
Now, what was your job title? Why were you wearing a suit?
I was working for Claude then, so you wore a coat and tie on the road.
Even during the game?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
So I went down on the field to go retrieve the ball when Eric broke the passing record.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it was one of those deals, like, we made the extra point, and they throw the football in from the stands, and a friend of mine named Tom Everett was the manager, so he got it, and he literally, like, from under the goalpost, did, like, an underhand zip toss to me, boom, I pulled in, I start to go up. Mike Adamley is a sideline reporter, goes, hey, hold on, I'm going to do this ball. So I was just holding the football for him, and he said, and here's a young man in charge of taking it back to Butchmeyer. And they just put the camera on me, and I said, Georgia now has the SEC's all-time leading rusher, scorer, passer. It's like, all right, kid, that's enough. Ron Franklin. So it was great. Ron Franklin came to speak to the Touchdown Club about 15 years ago. I told him that story. He loved it.
I wish loved I had known that was on today.
Yeah, it'll pop. I mean, you know, of course, you know, we were winning 28-19 going in the fourth quarter. They made it 28-26. We had a first down to win the game. Eric threw it right on. We had a tight end named James Warner. And he dropped
well,
it.
Well, that's
and
the thing.
And then we wind up punting. They go down, kick a field goal. We lose.
That's the thing about that ESPN Classic, though. They don't ever show those games we win. The only one I've seen on there is that year we beat South Carolina.
James Jackson
just put the ball on the turf, and no one was sure whether or not he had fumbled.
Like, have you ever seen the Cotton Bowl when we beat Texas, the 10-9 game?
No. Uh-uh.
I have not seen that game since the day it was played. Now, I've seen some highlights on YouTube.
I have seen the Notre Dame Sugar Bowl. They do play that one occasionally.
But not as often as the Pitt and Penn State wins.
No, those are on more. That Bama game
that
I've
Bama
seen
game's
before.
On a lot.
But yeah, that South Carolina game I've seen too.
Yeah, because it was unforgettable.
Yeah, I mean they were like trying to interview Coach Dooley, like, and he was like, "Hey, listen, we got." He talked for like a second, but was like, I gotta go."
It's like, we're getting out of here.
No one knew whether or not that was a fumble. But what was like, even if it was, they couldn't advance it. Yeah, so.
But what we were all just like, well, you know, they should have just like rolled it. Like, they couldn't pick it up. But,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Whew, all's well that ends well.
And I left to James Jackson. Oh, yeah, I knew we had it all the way.
Yeah, that's right. All right, moving on to the 5-5. All right, how about most likely four teams that we'll see announced Sunday for the playoff? You know, thinking about the outcomes of tomorrow's game.
Notre Dame is the most likely.
They're already in. Well, and Clemson, they're already in too.
Notre Dame, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia.
So we're going to win, and they're going to put Bama in. So the seeds are going to be Clemson 1, Georgia 2, Notre Dame 3, Bama 4?
Could be. I think if Georgia wins, that's the most likely scenario. Would you agree?
If Georgia wins?
Yes.
Yes. If Bama wins,
it'll be Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, then
– if Oklahoma wins them?
If they don't, then Ohio State. And if they both lose, then I think we'd get the 4.
If they both win, it's Boomer?
Wouldn't you guess?
I would think so. You know, a couple weeks ago, like, Ohio State was like 10th. Now, they did move all the way up to where they are now. I guess they're 6th, mm-hmm. and Oklahoma's 5. So if one team's going to beat Texas and the other team's going to beat Northwestern, it would seem to me the team that's going to beat Northwestern isn't going to jump over Oklahoma. So I think they're squeezed.
And like we said, the disgusting trials and travails of Urban Meyer. And I wonder if even ESPN, like, told Herb Street and Joey Galloway and those Joe Buckeyes, there hasn't been the normal Ohio State petitioning this year. Like, in the poll a couple of weeks ago when they were number 10, there was, Ohio State's got it. They control their own destiny. You hadn't heard any of that politic from ESPN. And that stuff, right or wrong, it matters. Those guys have enormous influence.
Well, and I think that probably – to me, what else would explain that Ohio State was even ranked there with only one loss?
I know.
So, even though that is a pretty bad loss they have.
Yeah, it is.
29 to Purdue. All right, finally, Jeff, quick NFL thought with the America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, knocking off the Saints last night. Not only did they beat the Saints, they held them to 10 points. So, Jeff, should the Cowboys be getting taken seriously?
Just when you take them seriously, they'll let you down. Now, Amari Cooper's been a huge addition for them, though. So now they're back. You know, they got a great back in Elliott and a great receiver in Cooper.
So well, the defense really is the eye-opener.
That defense, what they were able to do, the pressure they were able to get up the middle on Breeze, it gave him trouble. I mean, that's some blueprint-type stuff. And they've got a great offensive line. I mean, it's arguably the best line in the NFL. So, yeah, but still, it's like, do they get to the playoffs? You going to bet on Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott?
No.
I wouldn't either.
But what if the Super Bowl matchup is the Cowboys against the former Dallas Texans?
The Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah.
That'd be a good Super Bowl. What if it's the Dallas Cowboys against the Houston Texans?
That wouldn't be a great Super Bowl.
It's going to be L.A. You call
I hope.
You're so good at these predictions.
But you know what the NFL would love? What if it was Dallas and New England?
Oh, my gosh.
If Dallas and New England were playing in the Super Bowl, I would not turn on a television for 2 weeks.
I'd watch the game.
Yeah, but I would.
The lead up to
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I would not turn on a TV.
No, we
for
could
2 weeks.
Just do our, like, I love what we do during Super Bowl week. We'll just go back through the old games and pick all-star teams and rank the worst coaches and all that.
Yeah. But the coverage would be insufferable if Dallas and New England were playing in the Super Bowl. And God, it would be in Atlanta.
Oh, I know.
Oh.
I really, for a fan base out of the AFC, I would like for Kansas City to go. For a player, I would like for Phillip Rivers to go. So he's been a class act. He's been terrific. In the NFC.
Why not the Dolphin fan base and the player Ryan Tannehill?
I don't think they're quite there yet, though they are long-suffering. Out of the contenders in the NFC, God, I mean, do you have to root for the Bears? Just in terms of a fan base, you can't root for Dallas.
You know
fans,
what? I wouldn't root for the Bears, though? Because I wouldn't want anything to, like, tarnish the legacy of the 85 Bears.
That's
like,
true.
The Bears really should never win the Super Bowl again.
That's true.
Because it's just the 85 Bears are
– no, that's true.
That's their thing.
I mean, you know, the Saints –
I know I'm not rooting for the Cowboys.
No.
Because they've got two fans that I don't like. Jerry Jones and his son.
His
whatever that kid's name
Steven,
is.
Steven, right?
Yeah. And there's another one who doesn't hang around there,
right.
But that other one.
He's the GM.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. But how'd you get that job?
Just seeing those, they're fist pumping and high-fiving, that is just, can we stop showing them, like whoever the, you know, the producers of the directors of the TV broadcasts are?
Like, they rarely show other owners.
I don't ever see any other owners except
those.
I also
occasionally see Bob Kraft, occasionally.
But when you see him, though, he's usually just sitting in a chair, and, like, you always see, like, John Bon Jovi sitting
right.
next to him
I
or
mean,
someone.
He'll stand up and clap or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but Jerry, I mean, Jerry Jones acts like he just did something.
No, so I still want to see the Rams in the Super Bowl, but I'm just telling you, with Atlanta's sports history, I could see the Saints making the appearance.
Yeah, I wouldn't write off the Saints after last night.
No.
I mean, they had won 10 in a row. They were due to, you know, drop one here. So.
Oh, you just Adam Wynn just chimed in there, Bream, said if we're not cheering for the Bears for the 85 team, then should you not cheer for the Dolphins because of the perfect season team?
Well, come on. The Dolphins have won another Super Bowl besides
that's
that.
That's right.
Though.
It was the year after.
Exactly.
That's right.
Now, I wouldn't root for them to go undefeated again.
No.
Or any other team. The Dolphins can go undefeated again, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen next year.
Or any year.
Now, when they get Drew Locke there, I'll have to tell you, Locke is.
I'm not looking for Drew Locke. I'm looking
for Jake Fromm.
Yeah.
In a couple of years, after leading Georgia to a couple of national titles.
Well, I'm looking for him after next season. Jake will be good after next year.
Well, let me ask you a question before we go to break here. What are the odds that Georgia wins the national championship in 2018? This season.
Is this 2018?
Yeah, the 2019 championship game for the 2018 season.
20%?
Okay.
Yeah.
If the sporting gods came down and said, Jeff Dantzler, your dream's going to come true, sometime within the next 4 years, Georgia will win the national championship in football, which means I'll probably be dead. What year will it happen?
That Georgia's about to win the national title in football?
Yes.
I mean, there's a very strong chance that there's going to be one within the next – like 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Because if Georgia, you know, here Georgia is 2 years in a row, on the doorstep. They figure to be right there again next year. I mean, if teams keep getting there over and over again, they're gonna kick that door in at some point, right?
Do it, dogs.
So,
got a chance this year. Yeah. We're one of only, what, six teams that have a legitimate chance?
Well, you figure, like, basically the implied probability of a win tomorrow is 20%. Mm-hmm. So, if you know, so I'll give Georgia a 20% chance this year. Win tomorrow's game, and then hopefully Alabama won't be in the playoff, and Georgia should TCB against Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and then even Clemson. I mean, South Carolina scored 35 on
there
them. Come on. All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.